What's up, it's your guy, Leader Johnson. I'm your host with the most, so have an absolute toast. We are here on the Foul Leader Sports Podcast, the illest podcast out, man. Listen, it's a lot going on. So y'all got to let me give y'all the scoop. We'll talk about some the Phillies, the Eagles, and we will get on some definite NBA draft work. Now, let's unload real quick, straight off this podcast into the Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles are suited and ready. Jordan Davis manhandling people. We hear about Kelsey. Shout out to Kelsey, man. Get better. Got hurt. But Juergens is in there. This team, you know what impresses me about this team? This is probably the quickest team to ever get rebounded. From what I surely wasn't thinking this was going to happen in the offseason. I was thinking about at least a 3-year stretch. This would have been another, same year like last year, I would have thought. Could have been 9-8, could have been 10-7, possibly. I thought 9-8 to be real. I thought they would have been in the playoffs. Still been a young team, get together in the third year. Boom, everything clicks. But this year they went out and got AJ Brown. Total surprise. I didn't think there could be a move to be made, but they did have the draft picks. I just didn't think that move would be like AJ Brown would want to be traded. Everything just, and then for the Eagles to be that team that he would, it's his best friend out of nowhere. Boom. Hurts. I did not know that until, the rumors of Brown being with the Eagles was there. Shout out to a lot of podcasters telling me to update on the Eagles. Shout out to my guy, Ed Kratz, Sports Illustrated. Shout out to Ruben Frank. Shout out to John McMullen. I mess with a lot of I mess with insiders. These guys are, I mess with the real deal guy, Nick Fierro, Eagle analyst. Maybe no Fierro's not with the Eagles anymore. Taron Davenport's not with the Eagles anymore. They are with different teams. But those are all guys who still, you know what Philly's doing, man. Shout out to Jody Mack, too. Jody Mack, the young guy, Lord Brunson, he's out there doing his thing. Young, inspiring writer, analyst. Podcast are doing this thing, man. He also has rap. He's rapping out there. He's a young guy out there that's doing his thing. Love his work. Simone Stanley, shout out to her. People, both of them on YouTube, the YouTube stars. Okay. Now, what do we say about the Eagles? Any trades? I just don't think that's going to happen. No Jesse Bates. Kareem Hunt, that hasn't circled. But know for sure that Rosemond's giving calls, but what would make people think Rosemond wants to make a trade when you got three running backs sitting there? Now you want to go get Kareem Hunt. What are you doing with Scott? What are you really doing with Scott? They had Jordan Howard last year. But that's because, Miles Sanders would be hurt. Other guys would be hurt and you had to get somebody in there. Four running backs getting that type of run. When you have a running quarterback, that takes up yards. Three running backs is it. I just don't think that's going to happen unless they give up like Boston Scott with the trade. And then now it's Kareem Hunt, Gainwell, and Sanders. I see that. That would be interesting. But if you're just not going to add Kareem Hunt to a three running back, a crowded running back room. I don't know. I just don't think it can be done. But I don't think they want to deal with that. Kennedy Brooks is a rookie from Oklahoma. 1,000-yard rusher. Runs just like Jordan Howard. You might want to groom him, bring him along. He'll be on the practice squad. I don't think he'll make the roster. And I think next year he'll have the chance to be on the team. If he shows out this preseason, he's looking like their first call-up guy. And they're talking about power back, a guy who can run with power. Brooks is one of those guys. So I don't know. I just this year I don't think they'll even exercise that. I don't think they even ready care about that power back right now. I think they're worried about their offensive line and their running backs getting accustomed to running with the offense. I just think this is too much right now. I think if they were looking for a power back, Scott wouldn't have got wouldn't be in that backfield. That's just something to see. Remember last year, Jordan Howard didn't even, you know, he wasn't even on the squad. Remember this. Howard was on the practice squad. So, remember, it was Boston Scott, Gainwell, and Sanders to start the season. So, think about that. Just think about next year. If power back was that big, if power back was that huge, do you think they would have put Howard on the practice squad last year? So why would they come this year and say, hey, you know what, we need to go ahead and trade for a fourth guy to be the power? That's not going to happen unless one of those guys, Gainwell, any three of them, which I don't think. Sanders, let's talk about that running back room, which doesn't even get the attention. Sanders is a beast. He's one of the best all-around backs in the league. Everybody talks about injuries. I understand that. But look what he does when he's there. So that's what we're going to go on. And then this offensive group, this offensive coaching staff is going to get accustomed with Sanders. I think Sanders, what I call for is him catching the ball more. When he was catching the ball out of the backfield, he was something different. And Gainwell has proved he's a better receiver right now, especially coming into the league. But Sanders did that same thing, though. So how can we say who's better? But Gainwell does have some unbelievable hands, man, for a running back. But let both of them be receivers. If they can get both of those guys, and even get Boston Scott, like, you know, doing screens, you know. But Sanders and Gainwell can catch out the backfield, man. They got to get those guys catches, get them more in tune with catching the ball. So this running back unit is dangerous, man. Boston Scott is. Let's just stop this, man. Because every year they don't really. Okay, last year I understand Gainwell was a rookie, this and that, but Gainwell's gonna be real good this year. Gainwell's the real deal. He can hit those cuts. He got that tunnel vision. He knows how to slip and slide through holes. He go around, go through the middle, catch out the backfield. He's gonna be that weapon everybody gonna forget about. Cause remember, it's Smith, Brown, Sanders, Goddard, those are the guys first you're even thinking about. So guys like Gainwell are going to have a good season, real good season, man. Scott, same thing. What's good about Scott, this is his third year, it's his third go-around with the Eagles after being a successful college running back. If people don't know, Boston Scott was an unbelievable college running back where he was. And then you got what he's done since he's got here, and he's gotten better and better and better. He's just going to end up being even better. Like, that is a good thing. It's a real underrated unit. You talk about running back units, but this unit has, last year, if you look at their unit and what they were able to do, and then they all three come back this year. Now, what I don't agree with, Barry Brooks sometimes gets super excited. He's a good analyst, but he says this offensive line is better than the Super Bowl offensive line the Eagles had. Listen, this is a good line. Landon Dickerson was a stud out of Alabama. You follow his history. He's been a stud his whole football playing. Jordan Mulata was a guy who I think he's going to be good, even when they drafted him. He's 6'8", 350, and has athleticism, could run and run over people. He was an athlete. I said, they get this guy right and developed, he's going to be a stud. He is. He's one of the best tackles in football. Lane Johnson, he's the best right tackle in football still. He was with the Super Bowl team. Jason Kelce was the same thing. I mean, but Jason Peters and Brandon Brooks alone make their line in 2017 better than this line. You got two rookies who you're basically saying is the best left tackle and the best guard in football. Because that's what you're replacing, Brooks. Mr. Brandon Brooks, that's what you're replacing. Brandon Brooks was no guard in football better than Brandon Brooks. No guard. There was no left tackle in football better than Jason Peters. When these guys are on the field, there was no one better. You might try to go at it. In 2017, and it's crazy because even when Jason Peters, the only thing you could take away is that Peters will be hurt. That's it. But when Peters is on the field, there's no tackle better. No left tackle was better than Jason Peters. None. We're talking about a guy who was making the Pro Bowl every year he was here. He was making the Pro Bowl on his bad years. He was the best left tackle on his bad years. Brooks, the same thing. There's no way that this line, it has to prove itself. One thing they have to do, which is pressure, they got to play longevity, okay? Let them play a little bit, okay? Let them play, because that's a lot they got to make up. And then how about they win a Super Bowl? I don't want to put that pressure on them. Everybody can't win a Super Bowl. But that unit did. For you to compare them to that line was completely unbelievable. That was completely... You had the best right tackle, best left tackle, best center, and best guard in football. And then the young guy was Isaac. Isaac was the young guy. You know, Isaac was the young guy who they drafted because he could play all five positions. And he ended up getting better, being around a better coach like Stoutland, being around a better offensive lineman like Brooks. I mean, the guys surrounding them, I mean, how could you not be better? All of them was the best in football at their position. And then Vitae, he arguably the best backup that you could ever have. Because he took right over for a Hall of Famer. Like, that was just crazy to say. But this is a good line. Let's shout out to Barry Brooks on their behalf. Mulata is something good. And Dickerson, can't wait to see how good those guys get. Two big guys over there. Kelsey's hurt, but this is what they got Juergens for. This is why this is such a unique team. They really got underrated depth. Everybody's, you know, you could say underrated a lot of things. Linebacker core, underrated cornerbacks, underrated running back. But it's a lot of underrated depth here. I want to go to the Kennedy Brooks situation because if let's look at this preseason. If Kennedy Brooks turns into a player, you know, he's going to be on the practice squad, but look out for him to move up on this team somewhere or if somebody gets hurt. Just look for him to move up on this team. Be a guy they can use when somebody gets hurt. Then you look at, once again, back to the running back situation. This could be more special than people think. Like, this is going to be an exciting running back. I mean, running back trio here. Now, you look at Philadelphia, they've had Devon Hebrons, Charlie Garner, Ricky Waters. Had the Coral Buckharder, Brian Westbrook. You know, you had, so many of the, you know, running back combinations with Philadelphia. Just with the Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and LeGarrette Blount. That was a great three-headed monster right there. This one could be even better because everybody's young. Everybody's young. If nobody noticed, this is a young trio. They're all, you know, not even, their primes have not even hit yet. This is it. I think this is Sanders' prime coming up. I mean, he really looked good last year. He's still 5 yards per carry. Nobody understands that he's a 5 yard per carry on average, at least 5.2. With this line, yes, you have Lane. You still got three of the same guys from the 2017 team. Then you got Juergens to put him in there, knowing how good he is. And everybody blew up the Jordan Davis versus Cam Juergens thing. For one, you should expect Davis to win some battles. But what wasn't said is how good Juergens stood his own. So this is going to be great. Iron sharpens iron. Like Davis said, these guys are going to go in there. Juergens is going to be a Pro Bowl center, I think. I think he's being groomed right. You got Stoutland. You got Kelsey. How can you lose in his ceiling? How can you lose with this type of talent? LaRaven Clark. You keep Andre Diller. Everybody's been talking this Andre Diller trade thing. Sometimes what gets hyped up is social media and media gets put stuff out there. They haven't talked about, I mean, he's listened. Yes, this management, they listen to everything. People are intrigued by players they got, Rager and Diller. But to be real with people, they've thought about all types of, I'm not saying the trade couldn't happen, but what really is being said and what's really truthful, the Eagles love their depth. They love their depth, and their depth is not old. It's young. You get a guy that was drafted in the first round, the best tackle in that draft, and he's backing up. You still got LaRaven Clark. I mean, yo, this team is ready, man. This team has players. That is a deep line, offensive line room than people think. All those offensive linemen are at least solid or decent. That's good to have decent and solid backup depth when you got the best line in football among. Listen, if you put Dillard or Juergens in there, this line could still be top five. That's how good this line is. Like, if you take Kelce out, if he's healthy, and put Juergens in there, you take Mulata out and put Dillard in there, this line still is top five. That's how good this line is. And now Jalen Hurts will not only have time, he has receivers. See, this is what makes it dangerous. I'm just connecting the dots. He'll have time and a star receiver to throw to, which is his best friend. What better chemistry can you ask for? He's a young star receiver, and then it's your best friend. So y'all been playing together for a minute, and then to be best friends, you just happen to be a quarterback and a receiver. It's going to be a big season. A.J. Brown's going to be in the Pro Bowl. It's no doubt about it. He's going to be one of the most unstoppable players in the league. His status is going to go up, being a Philadelphia star. And then another guy, Devontae Smith. That's dangerous because they're both number ones. They're both number one receivers. You got the Heisman Trophy winner, a guy that was a Heisman Trophy winner and just had a big-time rookie season on your second. Like, that's nuts right there. That is, it's going to be fun to watch. I just talked about the running backs. But now you come to your one and two. Usually you're good to have a 1-2-3, which was last year. You was looking at Hurts, Sanders. Before everything started, Hurts, Sanders, Smith. Oh, here we go. 1-2-3. Looks good for the future. Now you're looking at a 1-2-3-4. You got three running backs set with a trio of receivers. Could be four. Yes, you have to give Quez Watkins love. Quez Watkins did his job as a second receiver last year. Showed his speed. Now, the thing is now getting him in the end zone more. Quez Watkins is a talent. And now let's talk about Jalen Reagor. Now, look at this. Now all the lights are on Jalen Reagor ever since he, you know, said, I got to make the team and working hard. Everybody think going to have a big preseason. I think he does, too. He just got to catch the ball this season. Jalen Reagor had all the opportunity last year to show his stuff. He was returning kicks. He was getting targets. He could have definitely showed that he was dynamic. The crazy part is if Jalen Reagor showed his dynamic ability, who knows if they would have went after A.J. Brown last year. What if that didn't happen? Because who was they going to make fourth receiver? Watkins? Not saying that couldn't happen. It still wouldn't have happened because I think it's a possibility. Reagor shows how good he is, and Watkins did what he did. You put Watkins at number four. You know. That is just a real good feeling. Real good feeling. Looking at that offense now. Then you look at Reagor, because I really think Reagor now being number four, the pressure's off. Like, he has to really, like, if he doesn't show up now, then what? He has all the talent, which is crazy. If you rate all four talents, really look at it, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith has the best talent, and it's A.J. Brown. Then you're looking at where we go from there. It's Jalen between Jalen Reagor and Watkins. It's Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor and then Watkins, talent-wise. So if you get them four, this is what you got to watch. If they get all four of them guys on the same accord, that's a real wacky four. That is going to be something special to watch. And then you still got Zach Pascal and Greg Ward Jr. And then let's look at Devin Allen, Bertain Covey. They're doing their thing in camp. Like, Devon Allen has the speed, but Covey's showing catching the ball, and he's showing he can return the ball. He's really been showing out, period. So he's definitely going to make the practice squad, but will he make the roster? Will Covey make it over Reagor? I think they're going to keep seven. It's not going to be eight. This is going to be an interesting battle in camp. The receiving, listen, receiver is good when you got your 1 and 2 already. But they have their 1, 2, 3. So now everybody else, this is depth. Now this is what makes it depth, because guys that we usually try to be a 3, like a Rager, he used to try to be a 2 or 1 at one time, which that didn't work out. But now guys that all can be 3s, we have the talent, Devon Allen, Covey, and Rager, and Ward Jr., Pascal, all have talent to be the 3, any receiving core in football. So my man, my people, my Eagle fans, be excited about the offense. Tight end, Dallas Goedert. Goedert is a big, Richard Rodgers, I didn't even know he was, what was going to happen with him. He's on the team, so now they have experience. Richard Rodgers can block. Why they keep him? He's 6'5". Dig me? He's 6'5". Do you dig what I'm saying? So he can block. And so that's always an extra offensive line blocker. That's another thing that's going to make the running game good. Richard Rodgers. You don't hear how much they really appreciate and like this guy for what he can do with the second tight end. Grant Cartero, who knows what happens. He has all the talent, but will he get the reps this year? Tyree Jackson's probably going to either be on a PUP. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but, man, he's a good talent. Just hope he can get healthy. Who knows what's going to happen with him now? We know Richard Rodgers isn't going to be the future. So, Caltera's there and Tyree Jackson. So, that's also good depth to look at that type of talent. You know, with Tyree Jackson, when he's healthy, he's phenomenal ceiling. The potential looks great. It's 6'7". Caltera, 6'3". This guy can really catch the ball. So, Philadelphia has people in the trenches. It's a real good, well-rounded offense. The question was always defense. They went up on their offense, and the question was always defense. The question was always defense. What happens on defense? What do you do? Defense. I'll talk more about defense when we get back to talk about just how big the Eagles can be on that defensive area when I get back on Five Elite.
Let's motivate. I wanna see the heat follow and swallow. You're taking the lick, bite, and rolling. Step away from frozen, step away from frozen. And as the rhyme gets chosen, follow me, follow me, follow me. Planets are small, the balls are clay. Not even a satellite. So keep staring, soon you'll suddenly see a star. You better follow it, cause it's the R. This is a lesson, if you're guessing, let the ball coming, hurry, step right up.
Yeah.
Follow the leader. Follow the leader.
We are here. We are back for our leader podcast, talking more Eagles on this first segment here. Listen, we got to just give and take on certain situations. And it's defense. Josh Sweat is impressing people. Big time. Big time. Man was a top 10 recruit out of high school, man. You know, injuries kind of slowed him down. He would have been a top 15 pick at least. And top 20 pick in the first round. I say top 20 pick in the first round. The dude's a stud, man. He's going to have 11 sacks this year. Brandon Graham's another guy who's going to get double-digit sacks. This is going to probably be the best defensive line duo in a long time. Remember when they had Hugh Douglas and Curse? They had William Fuller and Greg Townsend. Of course, Clyde Simmons and Reggie White. Just a few of the combinations. And right now, when it was Brandon Graham and Barnett, that's a good line. But it wasn't one of the best. This one could turn out to be real beneficial. Then you got Barnett backing up. people don't know how big of a deal that is. Like, this guy has been there. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's still young. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Barnett could win that position for the future and be next to Sweat. I mean, he's still young. Taren Jackson, everybody, you're sleeping on this guy. They drafted him last year. They had a real good draft last year. So many good potential players, and Taren Jackson and pass rushers. Taren Jackson is one of them, homie. Everybody got to understand this man is, he's what they wanted, a pass rusher. He can do that all day long. They can release so many different schemes, so many different, you know, switch up line, defensive line lineups from 3-4 to 4-3. Put more people on the line. I mean, and then you go to the unicorn. The unicorn, what I call tackle unit. Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, and Jordan Davis with Milton Williams is, listen, Milton Williams is a guy everybody's forgetting about. They drafted him, you know, a big-time draft pick, too. He was an important draft pick, a talented draft pick, and he showed it last year. He's a good, he's the probably one of the, I mean, if you're trying to think about the most slept-on player, Marcus Epps is one, but Milton Johnson might be the other one. Forgetting about just how good this guy is. And it's, but you know why? Because that's just how good the other three are. We're talking about Fletcher Cox, a Hall of Famer, Javon Hargrave, and who they just called, one of the Eagle coaches called a unicorn. He really is that good. Hargrave is that good. Like, he's good. I mean, who knows where he's going to be at when he finishes his career, but he has Hall of Fame talent. I mean, this guy, I see him. And then Jordan Davis is dominant. And when you switch all through three up, that is going to be one hard. I mean, offensive linemen are going to have trouble. That's a good 8-man front all day long. All day long. What do you do with that? You switch up and you got this big giant, almost 400 pounds, big as your biggest defensive lineman on the defensive line, feels stronger, faster, but that's only the backup guy. You're still dealing with Cox all day. He's a monster. Are we forgetting that he has to have double and triple teams on him? What do you think they're going to have to do for Jordan Davis now? If you're going to have to double and triple team Cox, when they switch up, you're really going to have to double and triple team Jordan Davis. It's gonna be fun, their defensive line. You know, who they keep for depth. Let's just see what the depth look like, you know. Also, with the defensive line, let's go to linebacker. Hassan Reddick is gonna be up there pass rushing with these linemen. So he's gonna be the irritating guy because you're gonna have to deal with the line, but then forget it. Who's gonna block Hassan Reddick? That's why I think this is gonna be one of the top five pass rushing sack defenses in the league. They're gonna have those numbers, top five. I could see three because it's gonna be real hard. Cox is also out for blood at the last year. Every time Cox has a year like that, just do your homework. When he have a year like he had last year, he come right back and have a Hall of Fame. Pro Bowl year right back. And it's not to say that he didn't do, you know, like he was garbage last year. No, he still was being double teamed, you know. He still was a problem, but he just didn't produce as much. That's what makes Cox so great. Even through whatever they do to him, you know, double teams, you know, and whoever, he always impacts. Even through when he starts getting double teamed and, you know, he's going to get to the quarterback, you know. You're going to have to go one-on-one with him. And he'll just make you pay. You know, he wasn't making people pay as much one-on-one like he used to. And when he was, you know, disrupting, here came the double team. So you see the production, you know, wasn't as it was, but he still was a big time. Like, he still was a havoc last year on one of his bad years. So this year, you might as well look at it. Him and Graham are looking to let people know, look, we still good. So that is a troublesome two there. And Hargrave was just coming off a big time year. All right, now, linebackers, Kazar White, TJ Edwards, Hassan Reddick, They stacked right now as far as the starters. They ain't been this talented since the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was talented. Jordan Hicks, Michael Kendrick, Nigel Bradham. But this is even better. You got Kazarius White. Kazarius White is really that deal at linebacker. Cover guy, can tackle. It's like an extra defensive back right there. Like, he's going to be good. He played that position before, went to linebacker. I mean, he's really going to be good at that position. And then you look at Hassan Reddick. But see, what makes – oh, yeah, and T.J. Edwards has been big time. He's been good. He's going to be – he was good. When they got him as an undrafted rookie, that was a steal. It's just like getting the Kobe Dean. Where they got him at. There's two steel guys on there. Now, Kobe Dean's not going to start. When they were saying that when he got drafted, I was just like, well, they must be just saying they're not going to have TJ Edwards and they're going to trade him or to put him on the bench after he's been doing good. Now, I do think Dean takes it after a while. I don't think Edwards gets a contract because of that. Unless White leaves, or, you know, but I think TJ Edwards is not going to get a new contract because of Kobe Dean. That could be the case. That could be it. You know, it depends unless, you know, Edwards is that good and they pick both of those guys over White. But that's definitely going to be it. Dean's going to be a stud. He's going to be a playmaker. He's going to get time. He's going to play. So, and then let's talk about the depth. Once again, the depth. Look, Davion Taylor, Pro Bowler Sean Bradley, special teams Pro Bowl. They have a special teams ace out of Temple. Patrick Johnson. I'm really anxious to see how he progresses. He's a pass rusher in college. All you need him to do is be a pass rusher. You don't need him to be a starter. You got guys, Davion Taylor, Sean Bradley, these are guys who can play. They don't need him to do nothing but pass rush. Sean Bradley is a sound, solid, you know, decent linebacker, but a great special teamer. So you got N'Kobe Dean, Davion Taylor, Patrick Johnson, and Sean Bradley on your linebacking corps. I mean, what are we talking about? Like, this is... that's depth right there. Davion Taylor is a stud linebacker, man. Like, to have him backing up, then you got Sean Bradley, then you got N'Kobe Dean. Like, this is having N'Kobe Dean and Taylor, you know, then you got a Pro Bowl linebacker next for Sean Bradley. And then you got the next guy, it's just a relentless pass rusher. If you can untap that potential in Johnson to let him just be a situational pass rusher, because he has that. And then Kyron Johnson. Let's talk about that one. Kyron Johnson. Kyron Johnson's a maniac. Super speed. Are we looking at the depth now in their linebacking core? For the first time, it is overly deep in their linebacking core. Kyron Johnson's rave reviews about this guy. We have yet to see him get on the court, but he's also going to be a good special teams player. The special teams are going to have some bullies. Taylor, Dean, Bradley, Johnson, if he makes the see what he does. That's huge, man. That's huge, man. For the first time, I've never seen the Eagles this deep at linebacker. Like, we could talk about every other position that I've ran through. Linebacker, that's strange, and that is big time. The one thing not being talked about is the special teams, how good it's going to be. The defensive backs, Bradberry and Slay is dangerous, man. And I think people are underplaying just how good this secondary is, how good Bradberry is. Oh, my man, they're going to shut down. I think that's the big thing about this team. That's where all this pass rushing is going to come from. Because they ain't going to be able to throw their football in time. Those guys are going to be all over your receivers. What do you need? Five seconds? One, two, three, four, five. Slay and Bradbury going to be all over your receivers, 1 and 2. So you're going to have to look for 3 and 4 to do something. A lot of these, this is where the Super Bowl, this is where the Super Bowl contending stuff comes. That right there is the X factor. When you could have even had who they had last year. You know, that's not good enough to be to a Super Bowl. When you have 2 number 1 corners, that's what you got. There's guys that can shut you down. Now, I've seen the Eagles with guys like Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown, Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor, but they weren't shut down. They were good. Sheldon Brown was good. Lito was shutting people down. Troy was shutting people down. Taylor was good. You know, he would, you know, those guys would shut some people down. These guys are going to get people. I mean, it'd be different every other night with Sheldon Brown and Bobby Taylor. It could be different. But not with Bradbury and Slay. It's not going to be different. It's going to be hell for 1 and 2s all game. Bradbury's a tall, lanky. I mean, this guy has went against guys like Mike Evans. Classic match. Like, this is probably the best on paper. Not on paper, because Awesome Y and Samuels, we thought that was happening at one time, but it didn't. But looking at it, this could end up being the best. Bradbury's been good in camp. Like, it's gonna be something. It's a 1 year deal, sort of like what Alshon Jeffrey signed, then got his contract. Bradbury could get that contract. Bradbury is getting signed next year for the Eagles. That's probably gonna be a priority guy. If he makes this season, I think both of them make the Pro Bowl. Avante Maddox is your third guy. We don't talk too hard. And then getting Jimmy Moreland. Jimmy Moreland would be a good fourth guy. And you got Zach McPherson. So realistically, before slowing all the stuff, Jimmy Moreland was a good signing. And James Bradbury. There was big holes in their cornerback. Now, in the cornerback position, now it's not. The fifth guy is the guy you drafted last year. We got coaches like, you know, he's a solid cornerback, young cornerback. You still got your first three now with Bradbury, Slay, and Maddox, one of the best 1-2-3 in the league. And then you got Jimmy Moreland. Like, this is a physical guy. He's been a starter for Washington, and he had over 40 tackles. That is really a pleasure to have a guy like that at number 4. I just don't know how he did it. Like, he keeps finding talent. He keeps getting undrafted talent, grooming undrafted talent. I mean, crazy. Crazy. Like, nobody's breaking down how good this team really is, especially a cornerback with that type of depth. Zach McPherson could just fall back, develop, be good. There's no pressure about him coming in, taking over, being this player that has to, you know, really contribute early. When it was like that before, he was almost looking like the second guy just not too long ago. He was looking like number 2. Now he's number 5. Realistically, he could be number 5. Moreland could also play special teams. Going to be a good special teamer. We'll see between him and McPherson who's 4 or 5. But looking at the safeties, we can go back. We can still go with the cornerbacks. The cornerbacks, my man, Josh Joe, Mario Goodrich alone. Then you still got Tay Gowan. You still got Kerry Vincent. These are all young guys. Mac McCain, young guys who they got a lot of confidence in. They were good in college. A lot of guys are good in college, right? But these guys were definitely studs. So this is a good cornerback unit. And what makes it good is that Kerry Vincent was on LSU. Mario Goodrich is with Clemson. Josh Jobes with Alabama. Winning programs. These were the top cornerbacks for winning programs. Tay Gowan is a stud. Athletically. Matt McCain's a stud athletically. So you're just looking at guys. Jared Maiden at safety played with Alabama. You know, you look at, but the safety, you got Kevon Wallace and Epps. I just think that's it. Andre Andre Kacher, a guy they got, Andre Cherry, if I'm saying that right, was an undrafted rookie with the Houston Texans, athletic player, good in college. One thing he will be is a good special team. Will he be there now with Tart? One thing with Tart is that he can drop down at 6'3 to a linebacker position. What makes that good is that Hassan Reddick can move up to the front with the defensive line, and you can bring Tart down to basically not even, just add to that missing piece at the linebacker part. So people think they can come with the linebacker because Hassan Reddick drops down. Tart comes down at 6'3", helps out Kazar White, helps out TJ Edwards as cover guys, as tacklers. That's a good defense. Now, we're talking about Marcus. Marcus Epps, he won't start just because of that fact. Not this year. But Marcus Epps definitely is going to get some – he'll probably – he's going to get snaps as a player on the field. He's that good. They got to put him on the field. But I got to take that back. There's a scenario where Epps starts, but in some defensive packages, they put Tart in there and bring him down as a linebacker. So I could see that because Epps is really a good player. Epps is going to be a Pro Bowler. Epps is a very good player. And I think Yvonne Wallace ends up being the other starter. I mean, he's a talented player. It's not no chance to let him go at all. He's going to work hard. He doesn't have to be the starter. Anthony Harris is a good, solid player. There's two solid players in Tartan Harris to have that you can win Super Bowls with. When you have guys like Bradberry and Slay as cornerbacks, you can have a decent safety unit in Tart and Harris. And they can make plays. They're going to work hard. They both can tackle. They're just not Pro Bowlers right now. But Harris used to be their player. Who knows if Harris taps into that? Who knows if Tart takes it to the next level? They're two real good, solid players, man. They are solid, solid players. Not even more than decent. I always say solid more than decent. You can say it's a decent safety duo. Because this safety duo can make plays. If you had the same cornerback tandem last year, this would be a solid all-around unit. But now, this is a good unit. This is a good unit with elite cornerbacks. And when you got solid safeties, that's a good unit. And then you got guys like Epps and Wallace backing up. We'll see who else makes it, if it's Cherry or, if I'm saying that right, Cherry, or you still got Jared Maiden. But I think that safeties and cornerbacks are pretty much met. Now, what's going to happen, who I think make it, I think they have four. To me, they'll get like four safeties and five corners. I think that happens. But in the practice squad, you're going to see Job, you're going to see Goodrich, you're going to see Cowan, you're going to see Vincent. I think all those guys make it. I think it's a chance. McCain, that's going to be a nice. Josh Blackwell, listen, Josh Blackwell can run. He. If you look at his career, he doesn't have any interceptions, but he has pass deflections. He runs a 4.3. If anything, he can be a special teams. I really like all the athletes and talent they got at this cornerback position because Slay and Bradberry ain't going to be here for long. You can groom these guys for like 2-3 years on the practice squad, bring them up, and it's going to make it more and more competitive. They're going to get more and draft the guys. They're going to get more. They could go and draft guys. Some guys can move up. This is a real competitive. The most underrated depth on here, or I say talent, the most underrated deep, the most underrated loads of talent. When you look at these undrafted guys, these guys they're battle tested. They've been in big games and college games. These guys have had their big numbers. Guys that were drafted, weren't drafted, these guys can play. So now it's different when you bring them in to compete for a 3rd or 4th spot or even a number one spot, you know, on some teams, you know. They really need it, you know. But usually these type of guys, and it looked like these guys were trying to compete for a second spot. At one time, it just looked like that. It looked like Josh Jove, Mario Goodrich, and Zach McPherson, and everything. They were all battling for a number two and three spot until you get Bradberry. Now everything clears up. Then you get Moreland. Now it's more pushback. Okay, you got guys, and Zach McPherson, they're not going to, those guys, you really have to see Goodrich and them really have to stand out to get McPherson. McPherson has been doing a good job, looking good, getting praise. When you look at their practice squad, you got these young guys that are battle tested, like Kerry Vincent and Tay Cowan. Because I think all of them be on the, Kerry Vincent, Tay Cowan, Mario Goodrich, and Josh Joe are for sure going to be on the practice squad. Who else is, I don't know. But for sure, Kennedy Brooks is a guy I think for sure is going to be on the practice squad. So this is a team, you look at who's going to return kicks. I think they're leaning toward just getting Covey. Covey might just end up making this team based on the fact that now he's catching the ball. He's, you know, he's looking, you know, on that part. He's looked good. But it's a lot of guys that catch the ball. For the fact that he can return kicks, might put Covey and Devon Allen is going to be another practice squad guy if he can't beat Covey. That's like, he's really been looking good. And if we get Pertain, Covey, or Devon Allen at return, I think it's a different. We need that. Having a good, people don't understand how good having a good kick returner is. Having a good kickoff returner, man. And the Eagles are almost dead. You know, Rager just couldn't catch. He couldn't field nothing. So that put that off. Boston Scott, I think he'll be the. Even though I don't want him to be, I want Boston Scott. Oh, no, he should touch the ball. I think Boston Scott becomes the kickoff returner. I think that's his big thing, kickoff returner. And the punt returner, that's Covey. But Covey could get both of them. But Devon Allen could too. Like that's three guys they got that are going to be returners that can return the ball. Boston Scott needs to stay as a third guy. You want to get him the ball, let him touch the ball as much as possible. Let Scott return the kickoffs, and then Covey or Allen can be your punt returner. That's depth enough to have two guys you know that can return with 4-3 speed. That's crazy. They tried to give Rager that position. If Rager would have at least done that, he would have been such a fan favorite. Jake the Snake Elliott, we all know he's going to be the kicker. We'll see where the punter goes. Aaron Sipos is the punter. This is a good squad, man. It's scary, the depth. I'm telling you, I just went down the line and showed you the depth. The Eagles have at least one guy that can back up each player. And then you're looking at the cornerback position. You got Zach McPherson is the fifth guy. But you got guys on your that's going to be on your practice squad that have been number one guys for big programs, championship. We're talking about championship programs. LSU, Clemson and Alabama, all of them times were championship programs. And you got this Tay Cowan with speed and size, guys. It's just so much there. A guy like Mac McCain, who has, I mean, listen, this is a good unit. This team is good. And we just want to talk about the starting part. The starters, you got to deal with Goddard. You got to deal with Smith and Brown. And you got Sanders. That's the first guys you got to deal with one of the best lines, top five in the league, top three. Now, go to the defense. You still got to deal with that line. Just say the line. Sweat, Graham, Hargrave, and Cox. But dang, here comes Davis. And you still got Barnett. Let's go to the linebacker. Reddick is going to be coming up. Kazar White. Now you got to cover tight ends and running backs, steel tackle. TJ Edwards is a beast. He's just proven. He's just a good. I mean, he's a guy that should have been drafted in the third round. Then you get That's crazy, the third round. That's when Dean was drafted. Then you got Kobe Dean, Davion Taylor backing you up. Just say those two guys right now. It's crazy. Crazy. Then at cornerback, you got Bradbury and Slay, but you still got Maddox and Moreland. And McPherson's your fifth guy. Then you still on the safeties. You got Tart, Harris. Both have starter experience. Tart, which is on the, one of the best defenses in football, contributed. Good hit, big-time hitter. You know, decent cover guy. Good to have. Size, good to have. You got Harris, but then you still got Wallace and Epps. This is a good squad. Good squad, man. This is my first segment. I got NBA draft coming up later on. This is crazy. The Eagles are just ready to play. Eagles could. I know they're going to win a division. I think Dallas lost too much with Cooper and Gregory. That was bigger hits than people think. Because you got to have everything for a team that's going all the way up. If you keep Cooper and Gregory, now you're looking at this team saying, okay, they can match up because Philly got, but they don't have a double combo like that. They just don't have that type of receiver. Brown really pushed the envelope when the Eagles signed him alone, just that signing. Now you're looking at Bradbury coming on the defense with Reddick. This team is ready. Will they be in the conference championship? Just like 2017, I got to see a couple of things before I start saying conference championship. And, you know, but I think second round is definitely it. Think they're going to be in the second round. Who do I think? Nobody clearly overcrowds the Eagles. I can say that, but the Rams did win the Super Bowl. The Buccaneers come back. Tom Brady, you know, as a quarterback. Mike Evans still got Godwin. They still got some people that won the Super Bowl. Okay, I'm not worried about Aaron Rodgers. Not worried about anybody else except those two. You know, Arizona always with the who they have is a team to look at. But rather than that, I just don't see anybody. And Philadelphia can beat those teams, but to me, it's the Buccaneers and the Rams right now that scare me in that division for Philadelphia. That's it. Once Philadelphia can go past those two teams, the limit's the sky. It depends on who they beat on this schedule and how they roll through this schedule where I put them. So right now, they're just a team that'll make it to the second round. They have, of course, they have the talent to be Super Bowl, but the young, the chemistry, how young they are, no. I'm not going to sit there and give them that. They have to earn that. I don't see that right now. I mean, if it was just one team in the league that had this two Super Bowl teams, Tampa Bay and the Rams are right there in this conference. So let's just see where that is. I think Philadelphia is a top five team. I think they're number four. I mean, I think they're even number three. I don't see nobody over them except for Tampa Bay. And the Rams. That's what I see. That's what I see. No question. All right, I'm out of here. This is you know, the Eagles is going to be their squad. They're going to be a team. They're going to be in the playoffs. And, you know, I have you updated with more and more things. No Jesse Bates, Kareem Hunt. Don't see that happening. Wouldn't put it past Howie, but I don't see that happening right now. Focused on training camp. So, everybody, man, follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. My Twitter is always big time. Follow me on Leader Johnson on Facebook. I'm out, y'all. Follow the leader. Follow the leader.